All right. If you haven't visited the book table yet, I just wanted to let you know that we do accept cash or check or credit card, either one, any one of those that you would like. And tonight is the last night, so whatever you need, be sure to get it tonight. Otherwise, we'll be not here for you to be able to get it. We, of course, welcome the folks from Korea. I just mentioned to Komsamida, hermanas, sisters. And I was in South Korea two times, once last October, a year ago, and then also 6 years ago I was in South Korea, had the privilege of preaching in several churches. And I talked to one lady that's from South Korea back there a minute ago, and she has been to the church of my missionary boy over there, that's one of my preacher boys in Incheon, South Korea. So that's International Baptist Church in Incheon. So anyway, it's good to have them here this evening. I'd like to thank Mukwonago Baptist Church so much for your invitation to me to be here, to Brother Roberts inviting me here, and the opportunity to come to your great church. I do count it a joy and a privilege to preach to you. And thank you very much for your hospitality that you've shown toward my family, my wife and my daughter, such good food and good fellowship. Thank you, Jonathan and Melody, for the wonderful meal that we had at your home. And then also Philip and Sarah, as well as Paul and Lisa. Thank you very much for the meal we had at your all's home. Appreciate it very, very much. And then Brother and Sister Roberts, tonight down at their house, God bless them for the good meal and good fellowship. And I appreciate Brother Roberts taking me soul winning. A couple of times we went out visiting this week, and that was a blessing, a privilege. He is one that goes out and knocks on doors. He's one to go out and visit. He even went out one time without me, and he wanted, because he wasn't going to be back until I had another appointment. And so he went on out and talked to a bunch of people. I appreciate a soul-winning preacher. That's awesome, and I appreciate it. Appreciate you all allowing me to have a book table and sharing my son-in-law's materials back there with you, and that was a blessing. My wife and I, we pray that the messages have been a help to you, a blessing to you, and that God spoke to all of your hearts and challenged you to live closer for the Lord and more on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ and be more of what God wants you to be. And I did not preach any messages on the home. I do have about 200 or 300 messages on the home. I preach a lot on the home, but I was not led to preach on the home this particular week. But I do know that there's a lot of marriages having problems, and in a church this size, there's probably a few marriages that could use some help to solidify your marriage and help the husbands and wives to get along better. And I just pray that God would meet your all's needs in those areas. And I'd like you to turn to Psalm chapter 55, and we'll be getting there in just a few moments in Psalm chapter number 55. We've been given the impression in life that if everything is not going just the way that you want it to go, then you're out of the will of God. But that's not necessarily true. There were a lot of examples in the Bible of individuals that were right in the center of the will of God, but had some tremendous problems in their life. Some examples, just to mention a few of them, the three Hebrew children. They were in the will of God, but they ended up in the fiery furnace. And the Daniel, of course, was in the will of God, but ended up in the lion's den. Job was right with God, a righteous man, lived for God. But he had the judgment come upon him, and all 10 of his children got killed the same day. And you know some of the other things about Job. And Paul and Silas in the New Testament ended up in jail. But of course they sang and sang praises unto the Lord and prayed, and God let them out of jail. But you know, I like to serve God when things are going great. I like to serve Him when every time you preach, a bunch of people come to the altar and people are getting saved, and you go out and talk to people and they trust the Lord as their Savior and all of those kinds, and everybody loves you and everything. That's wonderful when everything is going wonderful and everything's going great. I like to serve God when that I like to pray when everything is going great too, and pray and God is answering your prayers and everything seems to be going wonderful, and I love to preach when everything is going great, and I like to go to church when everything is going great. But everything doesn't go great all the time for people that are in the will of God. And so don't think that just because something goes bad that something is wrong in your spiritual life. Now sometimes that is true, but not all the time. There's are times when you have to realize that you must just serve God because it's right to do. And stay in there and keep on serving God because it's the right thing to do. And even though things are not going good, we're still going to serve God. And still going to, hopefully that things will turn out great in the end, and they will, of course, if we just keep on serving God. We want to read Psalm chapter 55, verse number 1 through 7, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Psalm chapter 55, verse 1 through 7. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. It is normal to want to quit once in a while. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to anoint this service with thy Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would meet the needs from the youngest child to the oldest individual here, that you would meet the needs of the one closest to God and the one furthest away, that you would meet the spiritual needs of anyone here who is lost and on their way to hell, that they need to know you as personal Savior. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would meet all of our spiritual needs tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this is a Psalm of David, but there were a lot of people in the Bible that we could read about that went through some deep problems, and many of them wanted to quit. Jeremiah was one of those individuals. He got to the place, he preached his whole life and didn't have any converts. I know, Brother Roberts, you and I would think that if a pastor had pastored his whole life and didn't have any converts, maybe he wasn't called to preach. You know, maybe he was out of the will of God or something. We might think that. But Jeremiah was a godly man, was right where God wanted him to be. But yet he did not have any converts, didn't win anybody to the Lord. But he wanted to quit. And then the Bible tells us, though, that he wanted to, and he's trying to keep his mouth shut and not say anything. But he just could not stay. Couldn't be quiet. He had to tell it. And listen, you may be tempted in life to throw in a towel. You may be tempted to quit. You may be able to be tempted to quit in, on your marriage, or quit in your church, or quit doing the service of God that you're doing. Maybe you are a Sunday school teacher, or you work in the school, or maybe you work in the daycare, or maybe you work in a Sunday school class, or perhaps maybe work on the bus route, or you're just serving God. And you just feel like, man, you're stretched to the limit, and it's time somebody else does it. I'm just going to throw in the towel, and I'm just going to quit. Well, I'm preaching to you tonight. There are individuals in the Bible such as Moses. Moses came down off of the mountain after he went up and he met with God and he had gotten the Ten Commandments, and he came down and then he heard the strange music coming from the Israeli camp, and he saw what they were doing, and he threw the tablets down and so on. He was discouraged and wanted to throw in the towel, but he didn't quit.
Elijah, he sacrificed unto the Lord. Remember up on Mount Carmel, and the Holy Ghost of God came down and lapped up the burned up the sacrifice and lapped up the water that was in the trough and so on. And the 450 prophets of Baal were killed. And then Jezebel raised her voice and said, "This by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have thy neck. I'm going to kill you." And so he ran off discouraged and ran down by the brook Cherith and sat down and wanted to quit. But he didn't. Jonah, he ran away from God. God told him to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't like the Ninevites. He wanted them to die. He wanted them to go to have God's judgment upon them, and he didn't want to go there. And so he got on a ship going to Tarshish, and that's when they threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by a fish, and a big fish, a whale. And then 3 days later, of course, the whale got sick and threw him up on ground. And then he ran to Nineveh and preached to Nineveh. And Jonah knew that if he went there and preached, that those people would repent and then God wouldn't destroy them. And sure enough, that's what happened. He went there and he preached and they got right with God. They put on sackcloth and ashes and prayed and repented of their sin. And God didn't destroy them. And Jonah went out and sat down in the desert and wanted to quit. He wanted to die, wanted to go on to heaven. But the Apostle Peter, after he had denied Christ and he was discouraged, and a few days after that he says, "Listen, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to go fishing." And some of the other disciples went with him and went fishing, but he didn't quit. And he got right with God, and on the day of Pentecost he preached and 3,000 people got saved, and then they got baptized after they got saved on the day of Pentecost. And praise the Lord that the Apostle Peter did not quit. You think about Demas. Demas got discouraged and decided he was going to quit. And he says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Maybe you're discouraged and you want to quit, but don't be a Demas. You need to realize that, hey, listen, everybody wants to quit sometime, but you don't want to throw in the towel. You don't want to quit. You want to stay right in there. You want to keep on doing the job that God wants you to do. Every normal person wants to quit sometime. Wanting to quit and quitting are two different things. If you want to quit and you don't quit, that's the goal. Don't quit. Every man has had a time when they wanted to tell their boss off at work. Every person has had a time when in their marriage there's been problems and they maybe wanted to even throw in the towel. Every Christian that served God has had times that they got discouraged and wanted to quit. Maybe there's somebody here that got upset at your wife and you'd like to trade her in for some new fishing gear or something. There's not a normal woman in this room who sometimes just wanted to get in the car, leave her housework, leave the cooking, and get somewhere where no one would ever find her. If you've never wanted to quit, then you're strange. You're very unusual if you've never wanted to quit. And you need help too if you've never ever wanted to quit. One lady said, "The more I learn about men, the more I love my dog." "Mom, where are my shoes? Mom, where are the clothes? Mom, I'm hungry." And that woman, she ran to her bedroom and locked the door, and no one saw her for 3 days. Some of you have thought of running a one ad. "For sale, 3 children, cheap." Sometimes you say, "What's the use? What's the use? All this work I'm doing, what's the use? What's it accomplishing?" A few years ago, my wife and I were sitting and talking, and we were thinking, all of our years in the ministry, and really, what have we accomplished? We got a piece of paper and started writing down names of individuals that we've had an influence upon, and that either we led to Christ or led to Christ and then saw them get in the ministry, and wasn't very long. We had a pretty long list. Even though we were thinking, feeling sorry for ourselves, that God hadn't used us very much, really as much of a sinner of that we are, God has used us a tremendous amount. And we've seen God bless in multitudes of ways in our life. Do you hear about the optimistic frog? Two frogs, they fell in a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul, but the other, he took the gloomy view. "We shall drown," he cried. And without more ado, so with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and he said, "Goodbye." But the other frog with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then will I die more content." Bravely he swam till he seemed his struggles began to churn the cream on the top of the butter. At last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? 'Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, keep swimming around. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it could, but he would be one who would say so, who would not say so until he tried. So he buckled right in, and with a trace of a grin on his face, if he worried, he hit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, but he did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one who's ever done it." But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing we know, he had begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubt or quibbling, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done. And he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that await to assail you. But just buckle in, and with a bit of a grin, then take off your coat and go do it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. There's a self-opening gate that sometimes is used on country roads, at least in the past, and it stays closed and firm against the road as the traveler approaches. But if he steps on the brakes and stops before he gets to it, it'll always stay closed. But if you'll keep on going and keep going up to the gate, right at the last second it'll open, because there's springs under the road, and when the car drives over the springs, it releases the gate and boom, and it flies open. Many people never get through the gate because they do not keep on driving. Every preacher's thought of quitting sometimes. I mentioned to your pastor that about half of the preachers that where I go preach are just about ready to throw in the towel, about ready to quit. Because I think that many preachers have a wrong idea of what success is. Many preachers think that if they don't pastor 1,000 people, they must be a failure. But the Bible doesn't say that ever. He says it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now I tell preachers, "Are your kids living for God?" He says, "Well, yes." I said, "Then you're a success. Your children living for God? Thank God for that. Regardless of the number of people that you pastor, you are a success." Sometimes you'll want to quit, but you don't want to quit. There are times in my ministry over 46 years that the devil has said, "Hey, why don't you just quit?" But never done it. Schoolman, Brother Jonathan, I'm sure there's been times when you thought, man, I'm not making any progress with these kids. I'd like to just quit, or I'd like to bomb the school or something, you know. But then God helps you to get right with the Lord and continue on doing what you're supposed to do. If you've never wanted to quit your Sunday school class, then you're strange. If you never wanted to quit your bus route or junior church, you're not normal. Normal people want to quit sometimes. But successful people survive the I want to quit times. You read biographies and you'll find that almost everyone that's been successful in life has gone through tragedy in their life tremendously that would cause most people to quit, but they kept on and God helped them to be successful. Many years ago, there was a Midwestern lawyer. He suffered deep depression, so deep that his friend thought it was wise to hide all of his knives and razors from him and make sure he couldn't get a hold of a gun because he thought he would kill himself. And during this time he wrote, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I'll ever be better, I cannot tell." He was wrong. He did get better. He did recover. And he went on to be one of the greatest presidents the United States ever had. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He failed in his business. In 1833, he was defeated for the legislature. In 34, he was elected to the legislature. In 35, his sweetheart died. In 36, he had a nervous breakdown. 38, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. In 1840, he was defeated for re-election. In 1843, he ran for Congress and was defeated. In 46, he was elected to Congress. In 48, he was defeated for Congress. In 55, he was defeated for Senate. In 56, he was defeated for Vice President. In 58, he was defeated for Senate, when he ran for the Senate. But in 1960, he was elected as President of the United States. There's four simple ways to service the quitting places. Four simple things that you can do when you feel like throwing in the towel. Number one, you must have the sentence of death within you. The sentence of death within you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Somebody put it this way: if I stumble, push me on. If I fall, pick me up. But if I turn my back and run, shoot me. Never despair. But if you do despair, work on, keep on going in despair. Just one more step. Several years ago, I had mentioned it to the preacher, but I was painting a gymnasium and I fell down and broke my back. Fell off the 22-foot scaffold and broke it in four places and broke both of the wrists. And the purpose of the story is not to tell you about the fall. I can tell you that some other time. But I was taken to the hospital and whatever and had his broken back. And then my boys, they decided that they wanted to climb the Grand Teton in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's 14,000 feet high and the last 800 feet of it straight up. And they called me and said, "Man, Dad, we'd sure like it if you could go with us." And so I started working out, and about a year after I fell and broke my back in four places, my three sons and I met each other in Jackson Hole, Wyoming on different flights. And we climbed the Grand Teton. The night before we climbed, I had worked out and so on, but I didn't think I could do it. I just really didn't think I could. And so I was laying in bed and tossed and turned and tossed and turned. And I only slept maybe about 10 minutes the whole night, Brother Roberts, because I was so worried about not being able to climb the Grand Teton. See, the day before we had training. If we couldn't pass the training, they wouldn't even sign a guide to us. And so I had to take the training too. And lo and behold, I passed the training. But that's because the guy that was given the training couldn't see me when I was trying to get up something that was, man, it was tough. And so the first day, we climbed up to what they call the saddle, which is at about the 10,000 foot level. And so we get up there, and it's about 30 degrees outside. So in August, but it's still about 30 degrees. The wind is blowing 30 or 40 miles an hour. We're freezing. And we're in this little tent, and we're supposed to sleep and get up at 3:30 in the morning, because we had to leave at 4:30 in the morning, because we had to be up on the Grand Teton, the top of it, and off before noon, because that's when the snowstorms come in. And I thought, well, I don't care how windy it is, I'm going to sleep tonight, because, man, I am shot. I was already so exhausted, I could hardly put one foot above the other, in front of the other. I was 58 years old at the time. And so that night, I only slept about another 15 minutes. It was amazing. I was tossing and turning, and the wind was blowing and so on. We woke up in the morning at 3:30 and got dressed, got ready, and went out to climb. They have a place that's about a half a mile or three quarters of a mile from the base camp there that we stopped at as we were going up to the Grand Teton. And we stopped there, and the guide said, "Now, this is the no turning back point. If you want to turn back, then there's our base camp. You can walk from here and you can make it to base camp by yourself. But after this point, if anybody quits, we all quit." And I thought, oh no. Because I was shot already. And we had to go. Already, we had to go to the place where you had to go 800 feet straight up with ropes and carabiners and all this stuff, and you're tied to each other. And I remember stopping before we even started on the 800-foot thing, and I was sitting there on a rock, and my boys, they were in shape and so on, and they said, "Hey, Dad, wave at us." I go, I could hardly lift my arm to wave at them. And later on, you could see that picture. Said, "How you looked like you, Dad, that you couldn't hardly even lift your arm. How'd you do that?" You know. And we had one place where the guide, he climbs up about 125 feet, and then he lets down the rope, has the rope down there for the next person, and then he sits there. And as my son David, the oldest one, he climbed up second, and every time he would go a little bit, he would take all the slack out of the rope, so that if my son fell, he would catch it. And so David gets up, and then I was number three. And so I had to go next. And I go up, and man, that was a very hard climb. I mean, some of the steps were, man, it was awful, trying to get up that 125-foot precipice, you know. And if you fell, it's 2,500 feet before you hit the bottom, before you hit anything. Anyway, I got up there, and I turned around and looked at my son David, and I said, "Dave, I don't think Daniel can do that." That's my younger son. And David and the guide both started laughing. Because David had just told the guide, he says, "I don't think my dad can do that." And anyway, so we're up there. And I'll tell you what, you know, some of you might think that climbing mountains and stuff like that is kind of stupid. But... And you know, there's probably a lot of stupidity with it. But I tell you what, there's nothing more elating than doing something that you didn't think that you could do, and you did it. And when I got up on the top of the Grand Teton, they let me be the first one to go the last 15 feet or so up to the top. And I was so emotional, everybody called their wife and talked to their wife. Because they had a cell phone from the top. There was a direct line to the bottom of the Teton, you know, and they called their wives. But I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk because I was too emotional. I said, "You just talk for me." You know, but man, it was an emotional thing.
doing something you didn't think you could do. And I'll tell you what, that's what it's going to be like for some of you folks that made decisions this week and you decided you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. But you don't think that you can. And you lead somebody to Christ and you didn't think that you could. And you finally get them to pray the sinner's prayer and they got born again by the blood of Christ. And you didn't think that you could ever win somebody to Christ. And then you want to call somebody and tell them about it, but you won't be able to because you'll be so emotional. You say, I just left somebody. You won't even be able to say it because you'll be so excited that you did something you didn't think you could do. If you don't quit, you quit though and you throw in the towel, you give up, then you won't ever accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Decide you're not going to give up. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. You're going to stay right in there. You'll keep on fighting. You'll keep on doing what you're supposed to do. There is a way that you can enjoy wanting to quit if you know you're not going to. Oh, I want to quit, but I'm sure not. Hey, climbing that Grand Teton, I wanted to quit. I wanted to tell my boys and sons, boys, this is stupid. There's no reason for us to wear ourselves out like this. This is dumb. I wanted to say that, but I wasn't going to be the one to quit. I was going to die before I quit. And I'm serious. I mean it. I really was. I was ready to go ahead and just die if I needed to, but I wasn't going to quit. And that's the only reason that I made it to the top. You know what we did when we got down? We all went and had a great big steak dinner together and rejoiced and had a great time together. One of the sweetest times that me and my boys have ever had together in life. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest. We've done a lot of things together. You know, some of you can't enjoy the time that you wanted to quit because you know that you're going to quit. You're going to throw in the towel. Winston Churchill, he had a three-word speech. He said, never, never, never quit. I think that's four words. He probably said never twice. I think he said turn back, never turn back. You know, he said, preacher, I think I've taught my Sunday school class long enough. I think I'll quit the ministry. I've been in it long enough. I think somebody else could do a better job on my bus route. My burdens are just more than I can bear. I can't take it anymore. Well, when the cup is turned to wormwood and the wormwood turns to gall, when your walking turns to stumbling and the stumbling to a fall, when you've climbed above the mountains, yet the Alps rise rough and tall, don't quit. When the path ahead is crooked and the road's too rough to tread, when the best upon the table is replaced by sorrow's bread, when you've crossed some troubled waters, yet a Mara's just ahead, don't quit. When the vultures have descended and they've disturbed your downy nest, when sweet fruit has changed to thistle while the thorns disturb your rest, when a deep to deep is calling and when failure seems your best, don't quit. When your health is feeling sickly and the medicine tastes bad, when your fellowship is lonely and your happiness is sad, when your warmth is getting colder and the clouds your sunshine's clad, don't quit. Don't quit. When you find your wins are losses and that all your gains are lacks, when ill things never come along and your troubles run in packs, when your soul is bruised and battered from the tempter's fierce attacks, don't quit. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season brings the gain. He who on the Lord hath waited shall never run in vain. The just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Don't quit. Somebody's depending on you. Daddy. Somebody's depending on you, Mama. Somebody is depending on you of not trading your wife in for fishing gear. Somebody's depending on you, teenager, to grow up and serve God. That's about the scariest time for a parent, is when their kids become teenagers, because they're tempted to drift away from God. And you, the teener, are teenagers here tonight. May God give you the courage and the strength and the wherewithal to surrender your life to Him and never turn back. And don't turn against God and stay faithful to Him. Yeah. Number two to how to not quit is get necessary help. Moses, he needed an Aaron. He needed a Hur to hold up his arms. Elijah, he needed an Elisha to help him in the latter years. Paul needed a Barnabas and a Saul to help him. Sometimes you'll have to have some help. We are not independent of needing help. We need each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. And that's one of the reasons all of you ought to be ministers here at this church and help one another. As you look around and see somebody that has a problem or a difficulty or a burden and they're carrying a load, you can help them to get back on the train and help them to get back in the service of the Lord and help them to keep on keeping on being what God wants them to be. There may be a dad here that needs to call a staff meeting and say, Mama, let's get the kids together. Hey, kids, Mom can't do it all. You need to help her. Hey, some things need to change around here. And it's going to start with me, the daddy says. And many other things we could say about that. But then number three is keep some no-quit medicine in the cabinet. When you have a sickness, it's nice to have something that you can just run to the cabinet, medicine cabinet, and take the pill, and you've got it taken care of. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30, verse number 24 and 25, Proverbs 30, verse 24 and 25. You know, one time I like to write thank yous to people that have been good to me. And one of our ladies in our church has been good and kind to her preacher years ago. And so I wrote her a little card, thank you very much for your goodness and whatever. I don't remember what I said. And then I signed my name and then I put Proverbs 30, 31. I meant to put Proverbs 31, 30. Now she came back Sunday night and she said, Preacher, thank you so much for the note, but what in the world did you mean by that verse you put down? Proverbs 30, 31 says, a greyhound and a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. Man, was I embarrassed. But I meant Proverbs 31, 30, which is a whole lot different. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's what I meant to put down. Now, back to the subject here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 and 25. It says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in summer. The ant is gathering up food in the summer so that in the winter they'll have something. And if you have a tendency to quit, you need to have some no-quit medicine so that when you can feel it coming on, you can get that medicine and take it and be encouraged in the Lord. Sometimes you read the Bible and
you don't get anything about out of it. And you just say, I've read that four times and I don't seem to be able to get anything. Sometimes your prayers don't seem like they're getting answered. So you need to store up some things and store up some prayer. When prayer is good. And then you can go back and you can remember the things that God has done when prayer was good. And Jeremiah said, His word was in my heart. And it was like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He could not quit. Even though he wanted to, he couldn't. So you need to think back in your life of times when God has been very close. When God has been very good. God has met your needs and God has given you a victory. Maybe you led somebody to Christ, or maybe you've had some sweet fellowship with some other Christians, or God answered a prayer and you know God answered that prayer. Then you can rejoice. There's a few times of my life that I can remember, and I'm not going to relate any of them tonight, but where I positively know I prayed and boom, God answered the prayer. There it was. And wow, when I get discouraged, I can think back of those times and rejoice. Say, God, you're so good. You answer my prayers. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, His word was in my heart like a burning fire, and I just could not stay. Get some fuel in your tank. Sometimes you and I may get a little bit downhearted and start to thinking that it's not worth it serving God. But if you have some memory stored up, then you can sing the song. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. And as you think of the precious memories when God was very close to you, it'll help you to not quit, but to get back in there and keep on, keeping on until Jesus comes. You'd be glad that you did. Many of you have made decisions this week. You've come to the altar and you've prayed and talked to God. You talked to Him about whatever it was. Maybe it was pride. Maybe it was one of the other nights. Maybe it was to go out and talk to people about Jesus. To go soul winning. Whatever it was that God spoke to you about earlier in the week. Don't give up on that decision. Stay right in there. Remember that God is a great God. He's a wonderful God and He answers prayer. And He'll be close to you and He'll help you through your difficulties and problems in life. Just don't give up. Stay in there. Stay faithful. And as I talk to Brother Roberts in the months to come, he'll say, hey, you remember so-and-so in our church? Man, are they a soul winner. Man, they're doing a great job for the Lord. They got on fire when you were there, preacher. And we can rejoice together about what God's doing in your heart and in your life if you don't quit. I have always found that whenever you have a great victory, usually there's a pretty good letdown very close after the victory. It's the devil's way of discouraging you. It's the devil's way of keeping you from accomplishing much for God. You just need to understand that just about the time you're ready to quit is about the time that God's fixing to bless. If you don't quit. Could we have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed? Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight, and Lord, this is my last shot at these people. And I pray, Lord, that you've done a work in their hearts. Help us, Lord, all of us to decide not to quit. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here that they don't have much to quit of because they're not even saved. Maybe there's some here that they're not born again. And Lord, we know that without trusting Christ as their Savior, they'll die and they'll go to hell. I thank you, Lord, for saving me in 1969 at 22 years of age. And Lord, that was a wonderful day in my life when you saved my soul. Lord, maybe there's a person here, a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that has never been born again, but tonight they want to get born again. I pray you'd speak to them and help them to want to trust you as Savior. Lord, we know that you say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, that'd mean anybody here that's willing to do it. Jesus, I pray that you'd also be with the saved people. Help us to decide not to quit. Help us to not throw in a towel. Help us to stay in there. While our heads are bowed, let me ask you. Say, preacher, yes, I've wanted to quit. But not only that, but things that I've preached about this week, pride, soul winning, other subjects. The Holy Spirit's touched my heart, and I need prayer to be faithful to the Lord and just to keep on keeping on. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the place. Thank you very much. You can put your hands down. Now let me ask you this. Say, preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. But I'd like to be sure. I'll not embarrass you in any way, but I'll pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? Let me remember you in prayer. Thank you very much. You can put your hand down now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Let's all stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would be with every person that raised their hand tonight. I ask you, Lord, to answer the need in every individual that raised their hand, especially. Lord, they had enough courage to raise their hand, and I'm asking you, Lord, to help them. Help them to not quit. Help them to be a soul winner. Help them to not be built up with pride. Help them, Lord, with the need that they have in their life tonight and in their heart, that whatever you spoke to their heart about. Lord, many Christians need to come and use this altar and pray and take care of business with you. Please answer these requests. And Lord, there's some raised their hand and they wanted to be saved. Lord, if they're ready to get saved, I pray that they would come to the front and take the preacher's hand and that they would have the gospel explained and see if they would be ready to trust you as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would answer the requests and needs tonight. In thy name I pray. Let's keep our heads bowed.